seated.
Malachi chapter 4 this evening. Last week we looked at the coming of Elijah and dealt a little bit with some prophecy and some things connected with that. Today we're looking at verse 6, Malachi chapter 4. The Bible says, "And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." And tonight we want to look at turning the heart, and specifically it's the fathers to the children to their fathers. And, you know, the Bible is full of things that have to do with the family. In Malachi chapter 2, God dealt seriously with the problem of divorce. So here, when we look at this, in the nation of Israel and the state that they were in, they were in desperate straits as far as their family structure, as far as the family unit. The divorce was running rampant. The fathers were not caring for the children. The children were turned against the fathers. And this message is given by the prophet Malachi to the nation of Israel at that time. It's still applicable. And I'll tell you what, Satan hammers on the families. Satan wants to destroy, he wants to just separate fathers and their children. Why? Because the father is by far and above the best representative of the children being able to know God the Father that there is. It really is. And he wants to break up the marriages because the marriage is the representative that is given, the symbol that is given in the scripture of the bride and Jesus Christ being the bridegroom. And those two things are vital for people to understand the Word of God and understand the relationship with God the Father and the relationship with Jesus Christ and His church. So hence, Satan destroys and attacks and wants to annihilate the whole family structure. Let's pray and we'll look tonight at the message. God, I need your help tonight. And Father, the message is here. God, we need in our country the hearts of fathers to be turned to the children. And we need in our country the hearts of children to be turned to the fathers. And God, it is severely lacking. I pray that it would not be lacking in this church. I pray for every man in this church that has children, whether those children are still in the home or out of the home. God, I pray that men would seek to have a strong, solid relationship with their children, and that children would honor and respect the fathers. And Father, that by this, the Word of God, the church, the pillar and ground of the truth, may just continue on in the next generation. I pray for our young people tonight and ask God once again that you will keep them, protect them. God, I pray that they would recognize evil and flee far away from it. God, I pray that fathers would be there to guide and instruct every step of the way. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we look at this, families were in disarray, and I want to look at four problems tonight that we see coming out of this and see in society today, and God forbid, in our own churches. But we look at this, and the first problem is men who father children and walk away, leaving a single mother. This is a severe problem in society. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the Bible says here, and it's talking about a saved person being married to an unsaved person, and saying no matter what that is, if a person gets saved, he says, look, the best thing for the family is for the family to be together. For there to be a man and a wife, for there to be a father and a mother in the home is absolutely vital. It is essential. The Bible says here in verse 12, but to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother have a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. You look at this and God says, look, even if the home is one saved person and one unsaved person, it is better for the home to have a father and a mother than just to have a single parent. And the children, it is going to have a great impact on the lives of the children if both are there together, if there is a father and a mother, and they are solidly living for the Lord. That's really great. But we live in a society where single mothers have become the norm. And God forbid that our thinking would ever accept that that is normal. It's not normal. The only case where that is normal is if God decided to take the husband away through death. That is the only case where that is an acceptable situation where you have a single mother. And why? You know, turn, if you will, and I'm going to look at two passages of Scripture. One is in Deuteronomy 23, the other in Hebrews 12. So turn to both of those. Deuteronomy 23 and Hebrews 12, and we're going to go to Hebrews first. God takes this thing of children having a father and a mother very seriously. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 8, and let's go ahead and read verse 6 to start with, get a little context. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So God, the Father, deals with a son whom he receiveth as a son. He says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? It is a normal and right thing for a father to chasten the son when the son has done wrong. And it is a normal thing for that to be the norm in the home. When someone does wrong, there is punishment for wrongdoing that sets the entire stage for their life in the sight and the eyes of God and understanding God as their Father. Verse 8 says this, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. So the Bible says here, and it lays this out and says, you are a fatherless child if you do not receive chastisement. Now, the speaking here in Hebrews is of a saved person having God the Father. And he says, look, if God does not chasten you, you better check up on whether he is your father or not. And that is an important thing. But it is absolutely essential, and it is the norm there in the book of Hebrews, that the child, when he does wrong, the father steps in, he chastens him, and God says, if there is no chastening in the home, then this is a fatherless child. The sad thing is fathers can be in the home and still do no chastening. But this would be a single mother situation. Deuteronomy 23 and verse 2. How important is this? Well, look at what God says here in Deuteronomy 23 and verse 2. This was for the Israelites, and we understand that. But it says, a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Now, is that serious or is that serious? He puts them right up there with the people of Moab. So a son, a child that is born to a mother, and either we don't know who the father is, or the father just fathers the child and walks away. God says that person does not get to enter into the congregation of the Lord for 10 generations. See, if we would understand and look at things the way God looks at things, it would change and revolutionize society. Because it was never meant to be normal. It was always a situation where the child is looked at as unclean. Is it the fault of the child? No, it's not the fault of the child. But the child reaps the repercussions from the parents and what they did. And in this case, normally the Bible says to four generations. In this case, it's 10. God says, I do not want this happening in my nation. And we need to get to the point where we look at it. I don't want this happening in this nation.
And I don't want this happening in church, that anybody would father a child out of wedlock, that anybody would father a child and just walk away from that child. You can't walk away from your children. God puts a great thing on this. Why? It is extremely difficult for a single mother to bring up a godly young man who will be useful to society. I'm not going to say it's impossible. With the power of God, and if a woman finds herself in this unfortunate situation, and maybe she was married and the husband just walked away and she's left there with children, maybe there was a great sin done and the fruit of it is children. If this woman will turn to God by the grace of God, and only by the grace of God, can she bring this child up to walk with the Lord. The child needs a father and a mother. And so there is a problem in society that men that just decide, I'm going to have kids. I take no responsibility for them. The wickedness of this thing. There's a guy I think it was the Netherlands, somehow found a way to father over 100 children. He takes no responsibility for them. You know what's going on over there? It's this. It's women that don't want to have a husband, but they want to have children. That, can you fathom the wickedness of that? It is, we are going to come completely out of God's normal and God's standard for society, and we're just going to do what we want to do. Many of these women, what they are is they're homosexuals, they're queers, they're lesbians, and they're trying to bypass God's order. And it's just a level of wickedness that is there. Christians ought to be so far away from that wickedness and that level of wickedness. But unfortunately, it's happening in churches. How? Because Christians walk away from God, and they walk away from God's word. Problem number two, fathers who are in the picture but have no time because they live their life serving self. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. The Bible says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And then it goes on, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. They all go together. But what do we have here? We come to the end days, and fathers, they're on the scene. They live in the home. But they do not take the responsibility given to them by God for the rearing of their children. And this part of it is this. Men refuse to grow up. They live their life having to have more and more toys. The problem is the toys get more and more expensive as they go up. And because of the toys that men have to have, then they've got to work extra for their own toys. And then to try to make up for their lack in the family and not being there for the family, they try to buy their children every gizmo that comes along, and they try to give them toys to replace themselves. What the child needs is dad. The children need time alongside their fathers, time with their fathers, time walking with their fathers, time spent with their fathers. And as a result of this, people get into such debt that it takes then both parents working to make the payments on everything that they've bought. Henceforth, further breaking down God's order in the family. The children then are raised by daycare. They're building one right here on William Street where old Pickens School was. And the whole premise is this. They're going to build this thing, and they are going to be open early, and they're going to stay open late. Isn't that just what society needs? The government raising more kids. They're going to open early. They're going to stay open late. They're going to be open for school hours. And if you have to work early, you can drop your kid off early. If you have to work late, you can drop your kid off late. We'll take care of them for you. Then they move from there to the government indoctrinational center, called the public school. And what is it? They go to a school where the science teacher doesn't understand basic biology. This is a boy, this is a girl. Who would send their children to a school where the teacher does not understand boy, girl? How many of you understand that a boy is a boy? Okay. Caleb, are you a boy? Yes. Guess what? How old's Caleb? Four? Three? Three? He understands he's a boy. Aren't you glad you're a boy? That's a good thing to be a boy, isn't it? And you girls that just sang, you're glad that you're girls, right? Isn't that a good thing? Aren't you glad you're not a boy? They're like, yes. But you know what? A three-year-old. And yet in our society, a five-year-old girl gets sent to the principal's office because she looked at a boy and said, he. How dare you call him a he? And that's who's teaching children? Those people are principals of the schools? You want to talk about a mess. You know, somebody that can't answer the question mathematically, 2 plus 2 equals... Does anybody know? 2 plus 2 equals 4. Would you want them for your math teacher? Of course not. So boy equals boy, girl equals girl. Do you want anybody that thinks anything different for your biology teacher? No, they should be fired on the spot. And then the kids, in that system, they're taught socialism, they're taught feminism, they're taught the tenets of Islam. That's happening more and more. They're having to memorize the tenets of Islam in the government schools. Can't bring a Bible. Got to get prayer out of the schools. Can't let the football team pray before their game. But you have to memorize the tenets of Islam, and we'll call that social studies. Something's wrong in our society. Down in Bloomfield, someone told me that went to school there 20 years ago, they were told by a teacher that you need to commit fornication at least 3 times before you get married. Can you fathom that? Of course, they didn't use the biblical words for it. But can you fathom that? That was 20 years ago. What are they teaching them today? And you think about this. And why is the need even there? The need is there because the hearts of the fathers are turned away from the children. They're focused on self. And therefore, the self-focus has created a problem that causes both to have to work and creates this monster that goes on. And then the children are raised by the system. Because of the financial problems, there's conflicts at home. Because of the conflicts at home, man decides to leave his wife. He runs off with the girl at work. They have children and start the whole process all over again. That's society. Do you recognize it? Do you know it is absolutely 100% common and normal in this society? You don't have to go far at all to find it. Problem number 3. Okay, so you've got father's gone. Father's there, but he's not there. Problem number 3, there's no instruction from the father. Proverbs 1:8. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. Look at this. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. What is there? There's instruction from a father. There's law laid out by the mother. We have a functioning home where dad instructs and mom puts down the law. It can work the other way too. It just happens to be the way that it was phrased here. Proverbs 3 and verse 12. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. What does a father do with the son in whom he delighteth? He looks at that son and he says, I want that son to be good. I want that son to be better. I want to turn this son into something worth something. And he takes the time to correct that child and tries to bring that child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother." So the instruction were given, the laws were given by the father and by the mother. By the time we get to chapter 6, it's, "My son, you've heard the instruction. You've been corrected about the instruction and the laws. Now keep them." Guess what? That doesn't change when you turn 18. You take the instruction that your father and mother have given you that are laid down, simply put, in the Word of God, and you hold on to those things for dear life because your life will need them all the way through. You don't get to a point where, "I don't need the Bible anymore." You get to a point where you need it more than you ever needed it before, because you get into the age when you're on your own. You better have God. In this world, you need God more than you've ever needed Him. And I'll tell you what, parents, you don't think, "Oh, my children are almost grown," or, "My children are out of the house. I don't need it anymore." Yes, you do. And your children still need to see that you're hanging on to the instruction and the laws that you taught them when they were children. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it." So we see instruction, we see commandments, we see laws, we see correction, we see training. All of these things saying, "Look, child, there's a way to go. There's a path that you walk. Walk that path." Today, the father, even on the scene, being missing from the scene, there is no instruction given. What happens? Instruction is then received from somewhere, right? So who is instructing our children today? Well, you can start with television. Television is instructing the children. Facebook is instructing the children. The internet is instructing the children. People's friends are instructing the children. And in this society we have, it is a total debauchery. Look, parents, you go out there, talk to people. Look what goes on. Do you realize today that parents and social workers would rather see their children influenced by MTV, sodomites who run Disney, sports heroes who have graffitied their own bodies from head to toe, Harry Potter, Hollywood, the lewd women of Hollywood, put it that way, they'd rather see them influenced by that than they would see them influenced by a church that preaches strongly the Word of God. And a Bible, and Bible teachers that teach them that a man is a man, and a woman is a woman, and a man ought to dress like a man, and a woman ought to dress like a woman. And all of these things, it's like, "Oh, wow, we don't want to go to a church that preaches the Bible." It appalls me. It appalls me. I've walked into homes of godly, what I would have called, let me put it that way, godly Christian people, that their grandkids came over, and when their grandkids came over, I walk in and the grandkids are sitting there in the home of these two people and they're watching MTV. I'm thinking, how do you, this is your home. It's not run by your grandchildren. You don't have to let your grandchildren do this in order to do something with them. But don't let them sit there and watch the filth that is on there. Malachi says when Elijah comes, he is eventually going to turn the hearts of the fathers from lust, from self-love, from pleasure worship, from money, and that the hearts of the children, or hearts of the fathers, will be turned toward the children. We need fathers that will delight in their children. Fathers that will say, "Look, I want my kids, by the time they grow up and they step out of my house, I want them to know the Bible frontwards and backwards. I want them to believe it. I want to have set an example for them as best I could. And I want them to continue on for God. And I don't want anything to allow anything in that will sway them the wrong direction." From any direction, from anywhere. Tuesday night, I knocked on a door. Guy comes to the door. He opens the door, revealing the living room. On the wall of the living room, I kid you not, from here all the way down to the floor, row complete rows of DVDs. Just rows. And I'm not talking flat. I'm talking stacked sideways. The guy, he takes the John Romans, the gospel tract, the church flyer that I give him. He says, you can just take this back. I don't believe in any of this stuff. Well, I guess not. Realize he had there at least 1,000 DVDs. I'm talking, he had enough there that he could watch TV for 12 hours a day for a year. No wonder he doesn't want God. Because 99% of everything that's going to be in those DVDs is going to be anti-God and anti-Bible. It is the natural thing. When his mind has been trained by that, why would he want the Bible? His flesh wants nothing to do with the Bible. He's been exposed to all of this wickedness, and that's what he sits there and saturates himself with. He needs Jesus. Problem number four. Children, as a result of the father's leaving, the father's being there but not being there, the father's giving no instruction, children, as a result, grow up with nothing but rebellion and disrespect for their own families, for anybody that's in authority, for their teachers. Talk to people that sit under teachers and what goes on in the schools. What the teachers just allow to happen. It's horrendous. But what happens here? We see there's an order to this thing. Back in Malachi, chapter 4 and verse 6, he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. The second part is, he'll turn the heart of the children to the fathers. It starts with the leadership. It starts with the head of the home. It starts with the father. If the father's heart is not toward the children, don't expect that the children's heart is going to be toward the father. There's a natural order to these things. And so this rebellion and this disrespect, it's promoted on TV. It's promoted by their friends. Children are taught in the classroom, out of the classroom, by their friends, by society in general. Parents are just oppressive. And the faster you can get out from under them, the more you can get away from them, the better off you're going to be. That's what society teaches. Children, your parents are your best friends. They are your watch. I don't want to call them dogs, but watchdogs over you. They watch for your souls. They're there for you. They're your guardian angels, if you will. And these kids in this society, when it comes down to it, they're promoted to take drugs and alcohol and fornication. They're encouraged to do these things against the will of their parents. And the parents, they walk away, leave their kids off at school, or worse yet, let the bus come and pick them up and take them. You know, we have workers on our buses. They have a driver on the public school bus. And believe me, he doesn't want to get involved in what's going on behind him. Everything goes on behind him. He just wants to drive and ignore it all. Because he can't correct them. The parents don't correct them. How can he correct them? The teachers don't correct them. How can he correct them? So we have a bunch of bus drivers who just let me drive. And all of this happens. Then children hide things from their parents. And they lack the understanding that their parents are the best protection they have in this sick world. Don't hide anything from your parents. You've got a daddy and you've got a mommy. And they are on your side. And they want to help you, and they want to protect you from Satan and everything. Satan wants to destroy your life. You know what? You go away to college, and we got some college age. Whitney comes to college. Parents are a long ways away. Don't hide anything from your parents. They're still your best friends. They're still your best protection in this world. They really are. And honor them when you're away from them. Don't do anything when you're away from your parents, anybody. Don't do anything when you're away from your parents that you wouldn't do with your parents being right there. Think about it. What's the answer to this problem? You know, Elijah's going to come. That's future. But right now we got Jesus. And Jesus is better than Elijah in every way, shape, and form. And you know what? If Elijah can do the work later on, Jesus can do it right now. And Jesus can take the heart of a father and turn it toward a child. And Jesus can take the heart of a child and turn it toward his father. And it's a good thing. And Jesus has a word for you. It's written in the Bible right now, Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 26. Proverbs 19 and verse 26 says this, "He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach." Tell you what, there's a whole mass of people out there that the fathers have given instruction to and they waste it. Don't waste them. Do you realize by the time you get to be 18 years old, your father has lived at least probably double your age? There's a wealth of wisdom there. There's a wealth of instruction. There's a wealth of advice that you can say, what do I do in this situation? How do you, you know what? It's there. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Oh, I know what I'm doing. No, you don't. I can tell you this, I didn't know what I was doing at 18 years old. I probably thought I did then. And I made mistakes at 22 years old and 23 years old. And I made mistakes when I was 24 and 25. That if I just asked, there were a host of people that could have given me advice. But the zeal of youth, right? Gotta go out and serve God. Gotta go to the mission field with $1,800 a month support. Because there's people over there that need to be saved. Oh, the zeal, right? The zeal was there. Not according to knowledge. You spend years trying to make up for that. You know what? There's a wealth. Don't waste your father and don't waste your mother. You know, you go get married. You know what? Kayleen and Christian aren't here. They're the ones that got married most recently. Kayleen would do well to call back to Mom and say, Mom, what do I do in this situation, right? Christian would do well to call his dad and say, hey, Dad, I have some questions here. Those are good things. Well, I'm an old man because I got married. Don't waste your father and your mother. They still, you know what? They still care for you more than anybody, except maybe Jesus. Turn to Proverbs 20 and verse 20. Proverbs 20 and verse 20. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. You want a dark life? Curse your father and mother. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people that do it. They actually use curse words when they're talking to their fathers and mothers. Can you fathom such a thing? Can you fathom that level of wickedness that they would swear at their parents? Or that they would just say, forget you. You know what their life's going to be? The Bible says obscure darkness. They're going to be wading through dark paths all their lives. Get a hold of this. Young people, don't waste your parents. Don't curse your parents. You need them. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 17. Proverbs 30 and verse 17 says this, "The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother." So we've got the instruction. We've got the commandment. We've got the law. These things are supposed to be kept. It is the parent's responsibility to give these things. It is the child's responsibility to take these things and hold on to them. But If you decide that you want to mock your father, and if you decide you want to despise your mother, the Bible says the ravens of the valley shall pick out your eye, and the young eagles shall eat it. You know, I don't know how literal that is. I imagine it's happened from time to time. But guess what? That's very bad. There will be very bad things happen to you if you mock your father and if you despise your mother. Very bad things are going to happen. God said so, and God knows. And I'll tell you what, we could list a host of experiences that do it, that prove it. You want to know where society's at today? A few years ago in a town not far from here, a teen girl became expecting a child. She hid the fact from her parents in the same home for 9 months. She delivered the child in the home. The parents never knew she was expecting. So where in the world were mom and dad? They were in the home. Both of them. How in the world did they not know? Because daughter's over here closed up in her room with all of her social gadgets, and mom and dad are over here closed up in their society with their virtual reality world, and they don't even know what's going on in their own home. This girl delivered the baby, buried it in a clothes basket, murdered the baby by just walking away from it. The only reason the parents ever knew anything about it is she couldn't stop the bleeding. And they had to call the ambulance, and the whole thing got revealed. You talk about wicked. Where are mom and dad? How did this happen? It is. But you know what, parents? We got to know what's going on. It's our duty to know what's going on. Our hearts have to be toward our children. And children, your hearts need to be toward your parents. And there needs to be that communication. It is essential. When Jesus saves a person, there should be a turned heart. Turn to Acts. Acts chapter 28, verse 26 through 28. We'll finish here, saying, "Go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. Seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." God's saying, look, these people have every opportunity to do right. But they have closed their eyes. They have put their fingers in their ears. We used to see this on the buses in Russia. Two deaf people would be fighting, and they would close their eyes. That's like a person stopping up their ears that can hear. They would close their eyes so they couldn't hear these things and could not understand. That would make the other person extremely angry, because they, just like if you were to talk to your kids and they would put their fingers in their ears. But God says, look, nation of Israel, people, listen to this. Your heart is waxed gross. Your ears are dull of hearing. You've closed your eyes. He says, I just want to help you. Do you know that God just wants to help you? Do you know that He wants to help your life? Do you know, mom and dad, that He wants to help you be the best parents you can be? Do you know, children, that God wants your life to be something great, and Satan wants it to be obscure darkness? And he says in verse 28, "Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it." Malachi ends the book saying there's a need for the hearts of the fathers to be turned to the children and the hearts of the children to be turned to the fathers. There's a need for this. We get into Acts, the problem was still there. it still existed. And God says, look, you're not going to listen to me. You've closed your heart. He says, I want you to turn your heart. But if you're not going to do it, he says, there's Gentiles that will. When they made that statement, do you know what that was to the Jewish people? It was like somebody smacking them in the face. When they would preach to the Jews and say, God's going to turn to the Gentiles, the Jews be, oh! Because they looked at the Gentiles as dogs. And the thought that God, their God who chose them, that he would allow Gentiles to come in and take their place, at least temporarily. That thought to them was horrendous. But that's the level that they were saying. And if we won't turn our hearts, you know, again, Jesus is the answer. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God, that's the answer. That's the answer to turning hearts. It's people getting saved. People communicating with God. People trying to, striving to walk and live by the Word of God to the best of their ability. Trying to overcome and get victory over this weak, godless flesh that we all have. Don't deny it. It's there. And it's wicked. But with the power of God, with God turning us, we can be people with our hearts properly turned toward our children and the hearts of the children properly turned toward the adults. Where is your heart tonight? Parents, children, where is your heart? Oh, we need this in our own church and our own families. We need to understand what's going on out in society, and it should never come into the church of God. We know better. We've got the Word of God. I hope you're feeding on it every day. It's here 4 times a week, minimum. Revival's coming up. It'll be several times that week. Plan to be here. We need God. Stand to your feet.